All right, good evening, and welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Cadbury Cream Eggs with Chick and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead, he of the annoying echo, and is Chick around?
Hey, yeah, I think so, but when I unmuted my mic, you started to sound like crap, so I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I can hear that, too. I'm going to have to turn down my volume until I can't hear it. We'll see from Facilibon if we actually sound like that going out live.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will swap to headphones just in case that makes any difference.
Nice.
But you sound fine now.
Yeah, that seemed to have done away with it, whatever you just didn't do.
Yeah, I did nothing at all.
Hmm.
So, what I didn't just do was actually everything.
Right. Well, that works.
I'm going to switch to headphones anyway.
All right.
Just so that the people here at my house think that I'm a crazy person. What I should do is I should switch to a Bluetooth headset.
Yeah, then you could just wander around outside going, I don't understand it, I don't understand it. People could think you're insane. It'd be great.
Is that what people do?
Sure.
I sort of forgot that this laptop has a webcam built into it, and the new version of Skype was all, hey, do you want to see what you look like right now? And I'm like, how do they know?
It's not that old joke where they say, hey, we managed to figure out how to take a picture of you with your monitor. Put your face up real close and see how it works.
Yeah, and then it's that one weird Photoshop thing of, like, the guy that's half dog or whatever.
Monkey something or other, yeah.
Actually, it's like some dude with a beard stubble and pigtails.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought that picture was all that funny. But sure does show up everywhere.
Yeah, it's not as funny as, say, the video for, It's not as funny as a Rick Astley video, we'll say that. It occurred to me that I didn't really know exactly what that song was called. I was like, never gonna give you up.
Is that what it's called?
Or is it never gonna, in parentheses, and then give you up? Yeah, that's what I got stuck on.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. So, what's been shaking?
And we had a very slow weekend, I think. Didn't much leave the house or the bedroom except to change diapers.
Wow.
But we did take a couple of hours on Friday, and we hired ourselves a pair of lesbian babysitters, and we went off to see The Watchmen.
Oh yeah.
Friday, so.
I think we should probably observe. There's at least one person who sent in a message to Radio Bugbear saying not to spoil it because they haven't seen it yet.
Huh.
I would say maybe next show we can have a spoilery discussion about it, but let's try and be spoiler free on this one. What did you think?
I thought that, like, the more that I thought about it after I saw it, I liked it and I was really impressed by what he had been able to do as far as plot and special effects and look of it, and I thought the guy playing Rorschach did a terrific job.
Yeah.
But then a lot of the other character stuff just wasn't quite there. Like, the things that were supposed to be emotionally moving kind of weren't, which was surprising.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still say, like, it's a solid triple. And not maybe a home run, but definitely a triple. And I'm looking forward to seeing the extra hour of it.
Yeah, no, that we left the theater. I saw it with a big group of people. And we left the theater, and Hot Stuff said, you know, seeing that really makes me look forward to seeing the DVD version, because I feel like it'll be a lot more of what I wanted it to be. I had this worry going in that it was going to be... The book was going to be compromised for the sake of making a movie, and it was going to be compromised in a way that would make it neither a good movie for somebody who hadn't read the book, nor a good movie for someone who had.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that that happened. The ending change is just kind of bewildering. I can't really talk about it, but know that they changed the ending in a way that it doesn't make any less sense than the ending in the book, and it is not any, you know, any more or less interesting than the ending in the book.
I thought it was marginally more interesting than the ending in the book, actually.
You think?
To bring in, to kind of bring things full circle like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see it. My one complaint about the change is that I didn't feel like it was really necessary. Like, I feel like by doing that, he's just opening himself up to a lot of scorn from people who were, you know, really invested in the book.
You know, I didn't either until I read a review that pointed out that the original ending is the culmination of two or three other subplots.
That they don't, yeah.
To make it make
really
perfect
get
sense, they
all.
Would have to put a whole lot more in there.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, the things that aren't going to change with another hour is Ozymandias is still going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Terribly, terribly miscast. Like, the first time you see him on screen, he's this kind of sneering, you know, ominous-looking, lisping dude, and that is completely and utterly wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make the Silk Spectre any better of an actress, although that didn't bother me as much.
The Silk Spectre 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually
really
kind of drove me nuts.
Huh.
That and the just... I'm curious as to what side of this fence that you come down on. Me and the pretentious artist were both just sort of appalled by the sex scene.
Hmm.
Like, it just, you know, whereas my wife was like, no, you know, that was, that in the book, that was a very sexually charged moment. It sort of ends with the same stupid ejaculation visual metaphor.
Yeah, that right? was a, that was ripped straight from that panel, yeah.
Yeah, except that in the comic, it was a fully clothed elbow knocking against the flamethrower button, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was, like, a single panel with nudity in it that was sort of, like, in the dark, afterglow sort of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like that scene belonged in, like, a ridiculous, low-budget, late-night Cinemax movie. And was just... It's not that there was anything wrong with the scene. It's just... It was filmed not like a sex scene, but like softcore porn.
See, I didn't have that trouble with it. I think what you're seeing as being filmed like a sex scene is it wasn't either missionary or reverse cowgirl. Like, every single scene in a mainstream movie, it's either dude on top kind of moving up and down, or it's girl on top
that
kind of riding.
I think I disagree with that.
They were having some sex in some different positions. And, you know, for like 3 minutes, I felt that was appropriate.
Yeah, I think it went on too long. I think that there was far too much, say, close up of a dude's thrusting ass. You know,
I'm amazed that you would consider anything too much close up of a dude's thrusting ass.
Yeah. That is probably my problem with it is that I'm gay, and since there were boobs in the scene, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that you're having that weird mental exaggeration that you get with stuff. Because
I
swear to God, that scene was less, actually, now that I think of it, less than 3 minutes long.
Oh, it's certainly less than 3 minutes long.
It
but
was like two,
you know,
verses
I, like,
of
the
Hallelujah.
Sex scene, the sex scene with Dr. Manhattan and that same girl, you know, was fine, right? It was, like, tasteful, and it expressed what it was supposed to express. I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, I felt like it was kind of tasteless.
Huh. I thought it was kind of, like, desperate fucking. I thought it was interesting that it was filmed in a way that sex scenes aren't normally filmed.
Yeah. The fact that they, like, switch positions multiple times over the course of the scene makes it feel like porn to me. It just felt like porn. And, you know, maybe I need to challenge my views about what sex in cinema is, but it just seemed really gratuitous to me. Some of the violence seemed really gratuitous, too.
I would say a lot of the violence seemed pretty gratuitous to me. And it seems like he definitely made a choice there, like a creative choice, that the violence was going to be super over the top.
Yeah.
And that the soundtrack to the violence was going to be really freaking loud. Like, somebody, I think at one point the Silk Spectre is, like, rubbing her glove against her glove, and it's deafening.
Huh.
And he had to have done that on purpose, just turned up all of the incidental sound. So, I don't know why he did that, but that wasn't a choice I particularly agreed with.
Yeah, a lot of just, you know...
You know, why do you have to saw that dude's arms off?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Did that even happen in the book?
No, they slit the dude's throat. Okay. Because they were going to use Arc Welder, and they didn't want him to like die in horrible screaming agony, so they slit his throat.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. That and, like, you know, when Night Owl and Silk Spectre are accosted by that gang in the alley, they don't kill them in the book. And they especially don't just, like, brutally kill every single one of them in sequence.
Yeah, just, like, mowing through them. That was a little strange.
Because, I mean, it just made the... It was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, these are the good guys.
Uh-huh.
But you know?
Are they?
Well...
Who watches them?
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean... But that was the thing. Like, what's weird is that I did not find Night Owl and Silk Spectre at all interesting in the book.
Uh-huh.
Like, to me, the book was about Rorschach and Dr. Manhattan. And, I, you know, whatever that says about me is whatever that says about me. The movie really made me like Night Owl. And, like, I feel like I will read the book again with a renewed sort of respect and understanding of that character just because he was so well cast and so well presented.
Uh-huh.
65 on Rotten Tomatoes. That is really surprising to me.
You're expecting it to be...
much higher.
Huh. I would expect that a lot of people would see just violence and nudity.
You think?
Yeah, a lot of the early reviews I was reading were like, this is just like nothing but fucking and people's arms being ripped off.
Huh. I will say that, you know, that scene that I consider to be a gratuitous sex scene definitely sets them up for a lot of criticism of having gratuitous sex. And that was like the only sex scene. That's what kind of bothered me about it. There was a single flash of some tits when Rorschach is ignoring the prostitute. There was a single flash of some tits in Night Owl's dream, and then there was like a 2-minute sustained fucking scene.
Yeah.
And that just kind of, you know.
That really didn't stop me as much as the violence did.
It really, that moment in the movie, that was either followed up by several other sort of stupid things, or it just suddenly shook my faith to the point where I was like, wow, you know, up until just then, this movie seemed pretty good.
Hmm.
And now I'm noticing all kinds of dumb, like the prison escape is kind of dumb. You know, I don't remember exactly what it was about, like him chasing the midget into the bathroom and, you know, like...
Yeah. And that's straight out the comic.
Yeah, now I know. I also, for some reason, I didn't think that you could see Dr. Manhattan's penis in the comic, but you totally can.
You can, but there's way more Wang in the movie than there was in the comic.
Yeah, I feel like there's only a couple of panels, although I didn't notice it that much in the movie.
I liked that he didn't shy away from it and didn't Austin Powers it or anything.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. In the book, they totally Austin Powers it. That's how it's done in the book. Although he's like, I guess he's wearing like some underwear for a lot of...
Yeah, he starts out in a little costume, and then as he gets less and less human, he gets less and less clothed.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for its shortcomings, like, I wasn't expecting it to be perfect, and I wasn't expecting it to be terrible. Mm-hmm. And it hit pretty much the high end of my expectations for it. I was just kind of surprised that he went that far with the violence. It just seems it's a definitely a director's choice, and it's a strange one. I don't know.
I'm curious. I mean, if they really did make the cartoon version of the pirate story,
yeah. He did say that he was going to edit that in, and he made Under the Hood. He did a documentary of the Hollis Mason book too.
Oh, that's cool. I like that Matt Frewer was Moloch. I'm glad to see him get work.
You know what I'd like to see it again because the acting style is kind of stylized from almost everybody. Mm. And it took me a while to get into that. Nobody is really acting like people, I guess. So all the performances
I kind of would say that
Night Owl
does, and that's kind of why I liked him in the movie more than I liked him in the book.
At the beginning he's all squeaky.
Nah.
Just everybody is just a little bit weird. And it's kind of the same acting style as Sin City, actually. So
yeah, I don't remember a damn thing about SimCity. SimCity. I remember lots of stuff about SimCity. I don't remember anything about Sin City, though.
I think, yeah, I'd like to see it again, but there were many, many times while watching it that I caught my breath and just went, oh, yes, nerdgasm, perfect. And he nailed a whole lot of it from the credits on.
Yeah, no, there were definitely a lot of nods to the book that I recognized having read it very recently and appreciated. It's a little weird that, like, you know, the New Frontiersman, the last scene is the same, but you're like, what the fuck is that? Because they've never mentioned it before.
Yeah, I think that's something that he just had to do to get to the end, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it was already so long. It really didn't. It didn't feel long, though.
No, it didn't. It really didn't play as long. Like, there was a moment during The Dark Knight where I thought, God, this is really long. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. It can keep going. And that didn't happen at all in Watchmen. I never thought to myself, this is a long movie.
Yeah, I could not make it through The Dark Knight again.
Uh-huh.
Batman Begins felt really long to me the first time through. Like, I really wish it had ended before the whole, like, actual plot to destroy the city, hey, I have to be Batman now part. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really feel that that added anything.
It added Batman, though.
Yeah, but I was perfectly happy with just an origin story.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's the part. I'll still watch that if I'm flipping through channels and it's on, but I stop watching it at the point where, you know. Yeah, it's just...
Well, I will never take away your right to...
Yeah.
To edit movies at your discretion. No, but it was weird being away from the kid for 4 hours. Because, you know, the movie is close to 3, and we wanted to get there early. Yeah, that's the longest I've been away from him. And if the movie wasn't so engrossing, I probably would have been a little more twitchy about it. But the lesbian babysitters are licensed babysitters and are good friends of ours that we've known for a while, so we weren't too worried.
Do you suppose
about
that as lesbians they have a liquor license as well?
I think so.
Yes.
I don't know if they got up to any lesbian shenanigans. If not, then the whole hotlesbianbabysitter.com address that I set up is going to have to go fallow for now.
It could just be really, really boring footage of people actually babysitting.
And sweating.
Yeah. What else? So Saturday morning I got up and saw The Watchmen, and then I didn't really do anything on Saturday night, and then I went to the Renaissance Festival yesterday.
Ah.
Took my mom to the pleasure feast, which she enjoyed.
You know, I took your mom to the fuck it.
Yeah, no, I was being quiet so that you could do that. Because you're just that dynamic and spontaneous, Mr. Skullhead. It's
really weird to think of... Like, it was weird in Arizona to think of the RenFest being during the summer. And now that I'm here, it's weird to think of it being in February and March.
Yeah. It was really nice while we were there. A little overcast, so it kept it from being too hot. It was crowded, though. That was the most people I've ever seen there. So
that's because the economy's in the crapper, so people are counting on the Middle East exchange rates, or the Middle Ages exchange rates, and the Middle East.
You know, right.
The Renaissance Fair needs more Israeli-Arab conflict.
We were sort of wondering whether that was going to make a difference, and I actually hypothesized that maybe it would do better this year because people, it seems like people are willing to pay for sort of unique escapee experiences, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry to leave you hanging there. My wife just got home from the gym.
See,
how
the gym
was
hit
gym?
Gara.
Oh, it was great. I mean
it was great. The push-ups and the lunch.
The push-ups and the squats.
Jick was equally. Jick was as disturbed by the sex scene in Watchmen as a lot of the reviews I've been reading. It's a little too hardcore in its softcore-ness.
Yeah. You didn't like the boots? Were the boots too much?
They were, in fact, knocking boots, which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think the world inside Zack Snyder's head, the director, is just a little bit louder and a little bit nuder and a little bit bloodier.
Yeah, I've not seen 300. Am I missing anything?
It was pretty damn good. Plus, there's lots of naked dudes for you.
I recorded it on the old DVR, which then broke, so I never got to watch it. I need to record it on the new one if I can make room.
So 300 breaks DVRs, got it.
Next to all the porn. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened, man. Irrecoverable read failure. Yeah. So that was what I did. The Renaissance Festival was nothing different than it has been any of the other times that I've talked about it. So I'm not. We had a feast.
Yeah, it's weird that a lot of the people at the RenFest are the same people who are at this one.
Yeah.
So just like people going, "Hey, look, it's Terry." And I've known him. They've known him their entire life, and he's a guy that that's kind of a minor celebrity from the Phoenix one. Are we still on?
I don't know. I can still hear you.
Okay, good.
Is this thing on? God, now I can't hear you, unless you're just not talking.
You cannot hear me, because I'm not speaking.
Well, okay. That makes sense. Anotsu had written a while back, "Watch the movie Taken, it has great fight scenes." Did I talk to you since I saw Taken?
Oh, did you see Taken?
Yeah, I did. I must not have talked to you about it. Yeah, it was okay.
I think it was exactly what, exactly as advertised.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Although there was a scene in the preview where he like stabs some railroad spikes into a guy's knees, and that was missing from the movie.
You know, I think we did talk about that last week.
Maybe we did, yeah.
You were mentioning that scene that was missing.
Because I was all, "What the fuck?" And you were all, "Yeah, I don't know, dude."
You know, the show is getting way too recursive.
Yeah.
We have to do everything twice. We have to do everything twice. The show is getting way too recursive.
We have to do everything twice.
Mm-hmm.
Three times.
Yeah. We could watch the movie Tekken. It probably has great fight scenes, too, being based on a fighting game.
Oh, yeah. Did Mortal Kombat have great fight scenes, and did the movie Street Fighter have great fight scenes?
I want to see Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li. I just don't want to spend any money or any effort to do so.
So neither the money that it would cost to get a ticket to see it in a real theater, nor the effort that it would take to BitTorrent it?
Maybe when there are DVD rips of it, I'll BitTorrent it. But,
I saw this article, I think it was on Slashdot, or maybe it was on Boing Boing, about the movie makers. Somebody developed a technique for putting some sort of signature in the soundtrack that would allow them, from a pirated version that's like video camera in a theater seat, to determine what seat it was filmed from.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's just like the sonar kind of thing that's accurate to within a single seat in a theater, which then sort of leads to me to the question, do we have to start registering individual seats? Like, how is that actually going to let them catch anyone?
Well, then they need to have a security camera pointed at the theater so they can look for the exact guy with the camcorder.
And stop him from coming back to that same theater some other time? Or
once it hits the net, then they'll go back through it. You know what they could also do? Is just, when a movie's released to the theater, just fucking let me pay 10 or 15 bucks to download a copy of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to give them money. I'm going to do it because I have a kid and I can't go to the theater twice to see the movie.
Yeah.
If I want to see it twice. Like, I would have already paid, in addition to my theater tickets, another 15 bucks for Coraline and another 15 bucks for Watchmen to watch them again, and probably more for other movies that are in the theater.
Yeah. That's and, just, you know, they'd have some control over the quality, and...
Yeah, but we all know that once you put your stuff online, nobody will pay for it if it's free. That's why iTunes failed utterly.
Yep.
As did Amazon.
I have actually never downloaded a movie.
I've done a couple of streaming ones on Amazon, but I haven't actually downloaded one to play. Just because the files are so big, I'd rather stream them.
Mm.
And with the Netflix streaming, I use that all the time.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I am nearly at my goal of being able to get rid of cable at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the capacity for internet on this laptop to hook up to the television, and so... go from my ridiculous cable bill to the just enough Netflix to be able to stream unlimited stuff.
I think they're going to do a streaming-only subscription pretty soon.
Huh. I mean, I think you can get a streaming-only subscription that only gives you one actual DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's like $7 or $8 a month, so.
Which will be fine, because I've had the same three DVDs. Oh, actually, no, I watched one and returned it. And actually watched the next one they sent me and returned it.
A funny Sweet.
Thing happened on the way to the forum, and Volvere are still sitting, and I don't even know where they are in my house. I have to keep paying them, because otherwise I have to buy those movies from them. I kind of derailed you.
No, what were we talking about?
My wife, we answered a question, I think. We should answer some more.
That's true. Desert Eagle says, did you fix the origami riding crop? I'm in hardcore and I forgot to check. No, that is on the list of things to fix, but it is not fixed yet. It is just the case that anything equipped in the offhand doesn't trigger intrinsics. And that's just clearly a bug. Because it would stop us from like putting an intrinsic on a shield if we ever wanted to.
Yeah.
Di Vernon says, you may like Mudkips, but what are your opinions on Bidoof? I think I read this one before, and I still don't know what a Bidoof is. I Miss You says, good advice. Can we have a Jick's Lonely Hearts radio show where you give life lessons to the wayward youths of KOL? Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm good at is giving advice to the youth on successful romance. Because I was nothing as a youth if not a successful romantic.
Well, I suppose that now that we are successful in love and in life, we can dole out advice.
Yeah, but it's all going to be that if I had known then what I knew now bullshit that just doesn't work.
Yeah, all I could say is, if you're lonely and miserable now, rest assured that at some point you won't be lonely and miserable anymore.
I don't know, though. You know, I mean, I've met people our age who are still lonely and miserable.
That's true. That's different.
So what did they do wrong? Moth says, I want a singer about the Moona and the Juna and the Springer. What's that all about? As distinct from Madonna, who likes to singy, singy, singy like a bird on the wingy, wingy, wingy. Hush says, do you care about apathy? Yes.
I'm ambivalent about apathy.
Catatonic Monkey says, Boolean mall searches, please? I don't know.
We should have Boolean mall searches. In various flavors.
Like where a special search where all you can search for is Boolean cubes?
Yeah. Like
which, if we ever add them to the game,
chicken
other than the
and
hellion
beef cube. And gold.
Yep. Elfin says, it took me literally months after NS13 came out for me to realize that you don't need to wield the wand anymore. Are there any other unannounced changes that I should be aware of?
Dozens.
I feel like... Huh?
Dozens.
Does? I thought you said doesn't. I'm like,
what? Doesn't make any sense.
I Am Soup Combust says, you know how waking up and smoking pot right away is called a wake and bake? Do you think you could call smoking pot and then sleeping a burn down and turn down?
I think that's if you smoke pot and then you clean somebody else's hotel room.
Yeah, I was going to say. I always feel weird when I'm in a hotel and they say, would you like turn down service? And I'm like, no.
Do you suppose that smoking weed and then masturbating could be a token choke?
I don't know. One time when I was on like some high school field trip to Phoenix, and I don't know what it was for. It was a math competition or something. We'd driven past a convenience store called the Come and Go, but it was CUM'N'GO.
Oh yeah.
We started coming up with variants on that, and then we didn't come up with what I thought was the best one. Which years later, a girl that I dated, when I was telling her this story, suggested ejaculate and evacuate.
Nice.
That was good. You know, jizz and jet and blow your load and hit the road.
We actually have a chain here called Pump and Munch, which. Seriously, how can you be so innocent that does not raise an alarm bell in your head?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they know that it raises an alarm bell and they just don't care.
Hmm.
Sieka says, silly question, but it was said that 68 is something you use the interface to do. Would using a relay browser like Mafia prevent it from working? Are there any trophies that using a relay browser would prevent from working? I really don't think so. So I'm going to go ahead and say no. Yeah, I did actually read some of these. I think I got partly down into this because Zap Rousedower had asked if we followed Shaq's Twitter. I have been reading Shaq's Twitter since this question was sent in, and it is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think it would be interesting to know what goes on in that dude's life, but he's so into the like text speak that it's impossible to tell.
It seems weird. It is so difficult for me to imagine that guy holding a BlackBerry and typing this shit.
For one thing, one finger would be the size of six keys.
Yeah, and it's also weird that he lives in Phoenix.
That is weird.
So
well,
it's like
the Suns now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like I feel like maybe I knew that in the back of my head, but didn't think about it. I kind of hope I can meet him so that I can ask him what it was like on the set of Freddy Got Fingered.
Mm. That's the only reason you want to meet anybody.
That is true. There are a very limited number of people that I want to meet, is the kind of good thing about that. You'd like to meet Rip Torn, Harlan Williams.
Warren Ellis' Twitter is always fun. It seems like...
Tell me what Warren Ellis has done.
Transmetropolitan.
Okay. Yes. What else?
He did the crooked Little Vein was the novel that he wrote, and he's done some other comic stuff. But pretty much he writes in... I guess his natural voice is the voice of Spider Jerusalem from Transmet. Mm-hmm. So, like, his latest twat was, oh no, badgers, and they're not even doing the badger song, just biting me, the internet tells lies, arg, badgers don't dance, ag.
Uh-huh. That's kind of annoying.
You should follow him.
Should I?
Yeah, he's very...
We can't really follow anybody on our Twitter, because I don't feel comfortable subjecting all of us to suddenly seeing that stuff in...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have my own...
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could set up my own just for the purposes of following other people's, but, you know, I really, the very last thing that I need is more shit that I can just check every 5 minutes to see if there's anything new on it, because I think I would be sick to my stomach if you actually showed me how much time I've wasted, like, loading /dot when there's not actually anything new posted since the last time I looked at it, or, you know... going to Metafilter to flip through 3 new posts, none of which I'm interested in. Like,
that's kind of my ongoing experience with Metafilter. Just, I keep going there, and I keep seeing lots of text that doesn't look particularly interesting, and I keep randomly clicking some of it and not learning anything.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that on a given day, there's one or two things that I will actually click on and investigate more. It took a long time to sort of get to the point where I was able to sort of tell where one post began and another ended.
Mm-hmm.
They really do not do a good job of delineating that. And people have so many different posting styles that it's... excuse me. That it's a hiccup. Raijanili asks what I think of this Yu-Gi-Oh card, and then links me to a Yu-Gi-Oh card called the Morphotronic Boomboxen.
Hmm.
I think that was probably in response to me saying that I did not like boxen as a plural for box, because I don't think that it's funny. Golgothica says, it seems to have originated from the common plural of vaxen for vax computers in the 70s, stuck around with a computer being referred to as a box, and thus boxen. I first encountered this pluralization via Magic the Gathering, as the common plural of mox was moxen in my circle. Yeah, I saw that, too.
I mean, I think it all springs from the fact that oxen is the plural of ox.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those jokes like the B-sharps, where... nobody really thinks it's funny anymore, but it's just kind of entered common parlance, so...
Right.
It's just what the thing's called now.
You didn't think it was funny in the Goonies when he was like, if you mess up again, we'll all be flat?
No, I thought that was really funny. Yeah. If you don't see sharp, we'll be flat.
Yeah. Golgothica wrote also regarding polarity and the unipole joke from Jick. Monopoles theoretically exist, but are extremely rare and too massive to be created with particle accelerators. Okay.
Yeah, my monopoles.
Do 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 do.
Do 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 do.
Wait, were you doing the
Intel Inside? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say the T-Mobile. What's the T-Mobile jingle?
Da, 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 da.
All right.
It's
weird. It is weird how successful an advertising campaign can be that it gets you to just totally remember and understand and associate with a company like a series of four notes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would venture to say that there are no novel series of four notes.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain intervals that have been so closely identified with a song that they actually use them to teach music theory. Like, when you're trying to hear, say, what a sixth is, you know, six notes up the scale,
mm-hmm.
It's in BC. So, and B, C, D, but the B, yeah. And a fifth is...
So in between N and B is a sixth, so like a third is... From Beethoven's fifth.
Yeah, and a fifth is Star Wars. And a fourth is Here Comes the Bride.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's handy. I had never actually... Yeah. That's cool, because, I mean, those are intervals that you can't not know.
Hmm.
GigaShadow555 says, holy shit, they're making a sequel to Tron, and the music for it is going to be by Daft Punk. Yeah, I saw that, and I'm still reserving my cautious optimism for that, you know?
Yeah.
Did you know you...
I mean, it does have the...
Was that you or me?
That was me. It does have the original director on board, writer-director, and Jeff That's Bridges. So.
Jeff Bridges is in it?
Yeah, he's on. So... At the very least, we could expect it to be his character from The Big Lebowski.
Right, which is awesome.
Yeah. That's just so what I needed right now, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched Tron a few days ago. And then last night, I played a couple hours into Tron 2.0 again, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to try that again. And I hope that I will remember to pick it back up. Elementary Penguin points out, congratulations all, you now have your very own IMDb pages, and the Asymmetric Publications LLC is an official distributor on the same site. Yeah, except that mine, I'm somehow mixed up with some other Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
Either that or I worked as like a sound designer on The Patriot and just totally wiped out that memory.
Hey, remember that time?
Yeah, no, I don't. Balance Tour says, by the way, just got back from The Watchmen, and it has a version of the Hallelujah song you were discussing recently. Leonard Cohen version, if the soundtrack is correct. Yeah, that's the original.
And holy shit, if I had heard that first, I don't think I would have sought out any other cover of it.
Yeah,
because it's so freaking terrible.
Me neither, yeah. I was, you know, there is some Leonard Cohen that I like, but I have never heard a Leonard Cohen cover that I didn't like better than the original song.
And that's weird for me, because usually, for a singer-songwriter thing, I can get into them with covers if the voice is not something I'm used to, but then after a while, I'd much rather hear the original. Like, I feel that way about Bob Dylan and Tom Waits, and, like, Neutral Milk Hotel, even.
I mean, did you get into them via a cover?
Yeah, there were a couple of covers from the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Really?
And I went, huh, these are really good songs. And then I went...
Wait, because I sure tried to get you into that, and
yeah.
I remember at a party you made me turn it off. You were like, sorry, dude, this is just awful.
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, it was. I think of it every time. You didn't say it was awful, you just said that you couldn't subject the rest of the people at the party to it.
You know, it wasn't a party. It was when you came over to help me string wire for my my first DSL line.
Oh, yeah?
In my apartment, and the only other person there was Jess.
Whatever.
And I said, hey, you should turn that off, because I don't want to subject Jess to it.
Oh, okay.
But see, the point is, once I got into the songs, I really wanted to hear them by that guy.
Well, sure.
And they were, and I think they're better for it that way. But I can't understand why someone who can't sing a melody would come up with a melody like the one in Hallelujah, and then not sing it. So yeah, I would just rather hear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there. I don't think that there is any rule that says that your skill as a songwriter corresponds to your skill as a singer.
Yeah. Well, it's just weird, you know. It's like a blind guy painting the Mona Lisa. Like, if you seriously are that tone deaf, how did you write that beautiful melody?
Maybe he just doesn't care. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say that he's tone deaf.
But that may be his style. Because it's more of a speaking
yeah.
than a singing. But, yeah, it's weird, because that song is definitely... A lot of songs, it doesn't really matter what the melody is. Like, the lyric is what drives it, or the beat is what drives it. But that is a really melodic song.
Yeah.
And if you sing it without the melody, well... Yeah, all of that to say, I had never heard the original before, and I don't think I need to hear it again.
Yeah. I mean, when I first heard, like, a few seconds of the Jeff Buckley version, and I was like, huh... Oh, it's a Leonard Cohen song. I wonder what the original sounds like. Jesus, that was awful.
Yeah. Anytime now that I go, oh, that's a Leonard Cohen song, I wonder what the original sounds like, I'm going to go, oh, it probably sounds like...
Suzanne is pretty good. Like, if you want to hear a Leonard Cohen song that's actually pretty good, and it, you know, sings it well enough... Suzanne is a pretty good song.
The one that they played over the credits was good. Unless that was Nick Cave, because it kind of sounded like Nick Cave.
I think there is another Leonard Cohen. I remember there being another Leonard Cohen song. He had like three songs on the Natural Born Killers soundtrack, which I listened to just over and over and over and over again for a couple of years. And they were weird. They were good. I would not have listened to those songs and pegged him as somebody that I didn't think was a good singer. You know who I have exactly the same response to, and I know you're going to tell me that I just need to spend more time with it, is Tom Waits. Hmm. I just don't get it.
Yeah, that was one that I had to get into listening to a couple of covers first.
Yeah.
And then I just said, man, this guy is an incredible songwriter.
So. Yeah, if you can recommend some, I'll listen to them, but yeah. Because Tom Waits is one of those things, you know, it's like, I feel like I should want to read a lot more Herman Hesse, but I don't. You know, I feel like I should want to listen to more Tom Waits, but I don't.
Yeah, I can maybe send you a couple of tracks that might... I mean, some of my favorite tracks, he's still doing the Rolf the Dog voice. It's just, it works. I don't know.
Yeah. I was pretty stoked to see that I'm at least supposed to have a page on IMDb.
Yeah, that it's slightly depressing, though, knowing that there will probably not ever be anything else on my IMDb page.
Well, you never know. You could do some voice work.
That's true. Somebody could hire me to play Leonard Cohen in some kind of animated feature, and I could just go...
Yeah.
If it was like a Charlie Brown feature and Leonard Cohen was Charlie Brown's new teacher.
Right. We could make another movie.
We should make some kind of animated feature.
You think?
With that dude who animated the beginning of the thing. How long could it take him to pound out like 80 minutes of animation?
Yeah, gosh, I don't know. Probably only a couple days, couple
hours. Did you see
hours.
That... The Watchmen as 80s cartoon
thing. All that was an opening, right? Like
yeah.
It was a fake. Yeah, yeah, I did see it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. Why the... Unless it figures in more in the extended cut, why did Bubastis need to exist in the movie? It was just like, oh, here's some confusing bullshit CGI for no reason.
Why does he have a giant purple cat? Yeah, actually, Jess hasn't read Watchmen, and she turned to me and was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
I said, that's,
and it doesn't...
That's the cat from Masters of the Universe, honey. Clearly. Hey, it was good CG.
Sort of.
I mean, there's really no reason for Bubastis to exist outside of... Yeah, now that I think about it, there's no reason for Bubastis to exist in a movie that doesn't have the same ending as the book.
Yeah, that was the point that I had made. Because there's no, you know, there is not any indication of like, oh yeah, he's a geneticist.
Yeah.
Right?
He's
like,
because the
not
only
at
thing
all.
That he is a gay Nazi in the movie. Apparently.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of weird how I've seen, like, the nerd world come up with, say, three things from Indiana Jones that bothered them. Like, there were the guinea pigs, there was the monkeys, and there was the nuke in the fridge. So that movie sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And with this movie, people are doing what I'm doing, which is, there was, why was there Bubastis, and man, that chick can't act, and man, that guy was miscast, and the violence was kind of weird, and the, you know, maybe the sex scene was kind of weird, and that movie was awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know where the tipping point is.
I mean, I personally felt that those were splotches on an acceptable movie for the last Indiana Jones. I wish that it hadn't been made, but I'm not going to say that it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know. let's see. WKOL Farmbot says, it would be interesting if the arena had semi and ultra rare drops, maybe a lead necklace that gives +4 pounds. I don't know, because no matter how rare we make those things, there are eventually just going to be thousands and thousands of them, because anything that doesn't go away, we can't make it rare enough to stop it from eventually landing at minimum price in the mall, right? And so those would just kind of be everywhere.
I wonder, and it seems like people are just skipping the arena altogether.
Yeah, I'm a little excited about Van's idea about it giving prizes after a certain amount of experience has been gained rather than a certain number of turns.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, the one problem that I have with it is not something that takes skill or even figuring out how the arena works. I feel like it is just something that requires using some website that updates every day automatically and tells you exactly what's going to happen if you take a certain familiar into a certain event at the arena.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. What's your take on the whole thing?
I don't know. Whenever I hear something like that, I'm inclined to take some action, but I don't know what that action should be.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit that the arena, I don't think that the arena is any worse than it ever was, but I don't think that it was ever particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I always thought it was interesting that if you knew what the strengths and weaknesses were, that you could do a little better at gaining weight.
Yeah, but it's based on how close it is,
yeah.
Right? Instead of how well you do, it's sort of like it's like I made it so tricky that like it was not something that it's clear how to be better at.
Mm-hmm. And either way, you have to do 10 fights to get the equipment. Maybe it should just be tied to the weight gain, like you were saying.
I think that would definitely be more interesting in terms of the Ascension game, and it wouldn't make any difference at all to casual people, right? Except that it could conceivably take them longer. Right? Because if we did it like, for every 20 experience you gain, you get an item, then and yeah, and at that point, I don't know whether to leave in the 25% chance of getting the lead necklace or what, you know. Ideally, there would be, you know, a content-rich little familiar dungeon crawl game that you'd pay some adventures to go into, and then, you know, you could conceivably be good enough at it to be guaranteed to get that familiar's equipment on the first turn, right?
Yeah. Or
the first, you know, it takes 5 turns to send a familiar into it, which, you know, I like that, but it's one of those things that is probably too much work to put into this game.
Yeah, that way lies madness, I think.
You know, maybe one of these days I'll think of a sort of a quick and dirty way to do that will actually sort of be fun, normal, procedurally generated kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that doesn't require us to just do a huge, huge amount of content work when we've already got a million other projects lined up that require an arbitrarily large amount of content to be created for them.
Yeah.
Let's see. PizzaKiller55 asks if I've ever been to furnitureporn.com. No.
They've updated furnitureporn.com. It used to just be a slideshow.
Really? What is it now?
It's made to look like an actual porn site. So it's kind of funny.
I see. having sex.
Mm-hmm. Not sure. Having some sex.
It's new and exciting. Chef Bob 27 says, "Why can't we pulverize familiar equipment?" That is a good question. That's it's really just kind of an oversight.
Should make it pulverize into Twinkie powder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
familiar
know
powder.
Pulverizing.
Ziggy Zagnut says, "I just watched Freddy Got Fingered, and I have to say, Daddy, would you like some sausage?" Genius. Agreed.
He's just saying that so you'll like him.
Gin and Tonic says, "The stats and auto sale value on the Drowsy Sword were clearly pulled out of the ass of someone with Tourette's. I mean, seriously, goddamn."
Fair enough.
Caxia says, "You should make diseases usable on other players."
Oh, they would love that. Yes. We should come up with some curse items that just permanently take stats and max.
Yeah, maybe give you like a familiar debuff that's trivial to get rid of, so that no one will get mad.
Hmm. So, Noodlehead 2003 says, "The Spinzor sucks balls. Seriously, nobody wants this thing, and I can't even sell it for 300 Kander Mall price. Any chance of tweaking in the future?" Well, I'm so depressed about what you just said that I'm going to be tweaking as soon as I get off the radio.
Really, you're just gonna hit up that big rock of meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the player base surprisingly can't seem to reach a consensus about what they will complain about more.
No.
Updates or no updates. Right? I don't fucking know what to do with that. Brian the Not Giant says, "Gah, flavored massage oil is really freaking hard to use on yourself. The same is true for using the Doom Wand." What the fuck is the Doom Wand?
Doom Wand?
Yeah, I don't know. Grog wrote, "If you use a file of hotness, then go to Burn Barrel Boulevard and use Wave of Sauce with the Bandersnatch, you can gain up to 60 experience in one turn. Bug?" No, that is enough of a pain in the ass that we left it in as like an intended consequence of what you can do. Because, you know, you're still dealing some damage in exchange for what you're getting there. Although, I would not have thought that you were getting... I would not have thought that doing one damage would give you two experience, unless I'm just forgetting how that curve worked. Grog says, "Who are Doc Galactic and the Pretentious Artist in real life? Friends of mine from high school." A Deadhead says, "The second time you use Grease Lightning in a fight, the word from is misspelled form."
That happens a lot.
Hi. What's that?
That happens a lot, yeah. It's one of my frequent typos. I know the difference between the two words, but... Frequent typo.
Yeah.
Of instead of off. I don't think that's something that I can fix, though.
I gotta, let's see. Grease bolts. Weird. I don't see. Oh, you squeegee some oil, form your nose. No, that's. You're squeegeeing some oil, forming your nose, and then forehead.
So all right. We're not misspelling that. We're just missing a comma.
Yep. Well, okay, so I corrected that from form to F-R-M-M, and then I corrected that back to form. So.
Perfect.
My work here is done.
Wow, it's daylight saving time, not daylight savings time.
You know, according to Wikipedia, daylight savings time is an acceptable variant, and a common one. So, I don't... You know.
So it's one of those things that people enjoy being arbitrarily pedantic about?
Well, you know, I mean, I can understand saying that... people have said that it renders the sentence ungrammatical, which I definitely disagree with. Right. The question is whether or not the proper noun for it is rather, whether daylight savings time is a proper name for it, and I think that it is. I think that is an acceptable variant. Because it's savings in the sense of, like, in the, like, a noun form of savings, right?
Right.
Savings account. I guess that's sort of an adjectival noun.
Since cable servers are in Arizona, which doesn't observe daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't read that as ungrammatical at all.
I mean, I think if you were just reading those things as words, then sure, it's kind of nonsense. But, I mean, my response to somebody today was like, have you seen Like Water for Chocolate? Is not ungrammatical, because Like Water for Chocolate is a unit.
Right.
And it is a thing. And so, like, so is DST. Yeah. I should have just said DST, because then nobody would have known that I think about it incorrectly. But it's like savings, like you're putting daylight in a bank. And Papa Yatako corrects it and says, call me a douchebag, but it's saving, not savings. I'm not going to call you a douchebag. It's, I don't think that one is too bad, you know?
Yeah, that's not quite to the catchy level.
Glebe says, February's over now, which means happy White History Month.
Ho-ho.
Smarmaduke says, I noticed that Creepy Grin is a potential auto-attack choice in the account menu. Could this be removed? I think the chance of accidentally choosing it is higher than the chance of anyone actually using it in a zone. Well, I mean, if we take it away, somebody will ask for it back. And Zeltang is funny. He writes, the latest update refers to daylight savings time. It's actually daylight saving time and is pronounced catchy.
The funny thing is, I've heard daylight savings time my entire life, and now, and that just looks wrong to say daylight saving time.
Yeah.
I also think that daylight saving time, or daylight savings time, is just kind of arbitrary and stupid.
Yeah, it's really a relic of a time when things were done without thinking about them.
It's like, I'm not saving any daylight at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're the kind of person who's getting up close enough to when the sun rises, that it matters, just get up when the fucking sun rises, you know? Like, it's not, it's sort of like, I don't know who it was designed to help. Was it designed to foster easier interactions between people who got up when the sun rose and people who still want to go into town to buy lunch from a store that's open? You know, like,
I don't know. I just know that when we fall back in the fall, that leads to winter where the sun sets at fucking 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks.
Yeah, I find myself, like, on days when there is more daylight, I just feel like I have accomplished more.
Oh yeah, the first winter that I was here, I just, every time the sun went down, I would despair. It's like, holy shit, it's already dark, and I've barely started doing stuff, and, like, I had to kind of smack myself and go, oh yeah, there are still 4 more hours, of, you know, at least 6 more hours before I go to bed.
Right. Madison 14 says, why isn't there a Moxie item of the month accessory yet? It's been like years, man. Yeah, there's one on deck. I mean, not like on deck in terms of up next. I don't know what to do for April yet. You know what I actually really like a lot is that suggestion in the forums for a 20 pounds of Doppelshifter familiar equipment. Like, just a piece of equipment that causes your familiar to turn into a random other familiar every fight. That is totally a way for us to bring the Doppelshifter back without really bringing the Doppelshifter back.
Yeah. Is that worth having in the store for a whole month?
I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if the point is to, are you just making a joke to try to stir up April Fool's controversy?
No, I'm just, I'm genuinely curious if we're still going to make payroll, then yeah. Who's to say that we couldn't have a month where we don't, maybe.
But, I mean, the Doppelshifter was, yeah.
But
right?
It was a familiar.
Sure, that's true. What we could do is, and I mean, we're of course spoiling it now, we could just say that this would actually be kind of awesome. We could just say that that item goes into Mr. Store for one day on every April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that bad? In addition to whatever the actual item of the month for April is.
Yeah.
I mean, is that bad? Like, listeners, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it would be the first time that we've done a recurring item, an item that keeps coming back every month.
It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know how many people... I feel like that would be the kind of thing that, especially if word got out that we were going to do it like that, that nobody would invest in it, right? Because it is not going to gain value, because once it's been 8 months, you know that you can just wait 4 months and buy one again.
Hmm.
But that would be a way for us to perpetually reintroduce the Doppelshifter functionality for people. I'm just curious as to whether or not that would piss anyone off.
Yeah, because let us know, because that's awfully attractive.
I don't know that I would have made it plus 20 pounds.
Do you think so?
Nah, it's a little crazy. Given the extent to which you can't do anything with it on purpose, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is it could be that heavy because you can't do it.
But I mean, the Doppelshifter itself has plus 10 pounds equipment.
Yeah.
Right? So, but I guess it has plus 10 pounds equipment that you could get in a hardcore run, because so much optimal play being done with Doppelshifters.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people talking about, and by a lot I mean three, talking about the grammar in that announcement. I wasn't sure whether that announcement was worth making or not, because we always end up getting a bunch of questions. Why'd you change rollover? To which I replied, stop hitting yourself. And then they say, I'm not. And I say, yeah, I didn't.
Beautiful. I'm impressed that you were completely on top of the show today, by the way. That 2 hours after you had messaged me to say, hey, don't forget that the show doesn't change for you, I was all, hey, dude, don't forget that the show... It's on in half an hour, and you were...
No, I know, and then I was all like, what the fuck? And then you said, oh yeah, I totally didn't get those text messages. I'm like, yeah, that would explain it.
And then you're like, wait, if you didn't get them, how do you know there were any?
Yeah. No, I mean, I knew what you meant when you said you didn't get them. Right.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've been having weird luck with... on my old phone, my wife would routinely send me text messages which would just go into the inbox having been marked red automatically.
Hmm.
And now, she'll send me, and it's just from her, and I don't understand why this works like this, but she will often send me text messages, or I will send her text messages that will take, like, an hour or 2 hours to get delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So, confusing. Missing No says, when's the next C stuff coming out? It is now fully formed and just requires a lot of work. There are a bunch of writing gaps that are right up your alley, Mr. Skullhead, and there are a bunch of functionality gaps that are right up mine, and Riff's got a few things to do, and yeah, my goal is to have it done this week, but I'm not entirely positive that that's possible, because it turned out, I was like, well, let's do something, let's not break our backs to get a new zone out at the last deadline, let's just do this minor sort of update. But then the minor update turned into something that was a lot more work than adding a new zone.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, we might as well sort of go whole hog, so now we're doing a new zone and the major / minor update, because they were sort of... I finally had kind of a just watershed. Like, I sat down, like, all right, I am going to figure out what we're doing. Because we were... The reason that we fell off the sort of deadline wagon is because we went through the initial sort of bursts of ideas that we had for zones, as far as the, like, progression through the thing. There were two zones left that we knew what they were going to be, and neither of them seemed like the right thing to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So I just finally kind of sat down and I was like, all right, I'm just going to make up my mind about what this is going to be like, the sort of overall structure of it, and then that gave us a lot more of a... there's a lot of fully formed and partially formed... Let me start over. There are a lot of boxes in my head. I think of future content as these boxes. And in order for anybody other than me to work on them, I have to sort of bend the box into a shape that other people recognize. So like once we've determined what a box is shaped like, we can say, all right, so now what how do these things interact? Like what sort of actual writing needs to be done, what artwork needs to be done, whatever. But for a long time, it's just, we've been sort of talking about this, and there are definitely enough ideas to move forward with doing this as a zone, but there is just not yet, there are not yet any sort of rails for us to put our hand car on. Mm. And I think I finally laid the rails for the next couple months of C development, and I think we'll be good there.
Yeah.
Yep. Shooting for Friday. It largely depends on how much time I have to actually do work and how much time Scully has to do writing stuff and what else comes up in the meantime. You know, there's always plenty of other work to be done.
Yeah. Plus, I'm rearing a child.
Yes. You shouldn't admit that on the radio, man. You want to take a music break?
Yep, I think we could. Call it the high end of 15 minutes, and we'll start with a cover of Hallelujah that's really good. And thank you, Into the Wampus, for pointing me to where I could legitimately purchase this track.
See you in a bit.
And we're back.
Sorry, it took me a second to find my mic unmute switch.
Oh.
Anything exciting happened during the break?
Not much, really. Talked to my wife, and we tried to figure out what to have for dinner, and we failed.
Oh.
Yeah. So I told her to just find something and eat it, and when the show's over, I'll find something and eat it, and I don't know. I have the baby down here. I could maybe...
You can eat a baby?
I could eat a baby.
I hear it keeps dingoes fit and energetic.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat some leftovers from the other night when I ate some ground lamb cooked with cabbage. That's what I'm going to have for dinner.
Delicious.
I have just become, the older I get, the more I like cabbage.
Hmm.
I don't know what the hell. It was Nick's Feed Your Face that made me turn the corner on it. I didn't like cabbage when I was a kid, but sub sandwiches with cabbage on them instead of lettuce are just so much better.
See, I'd rather have spinach leaves than cabbage or lettuce.
See, I like spinach leaves well enough, but I think I'd rather have cabbage than just about anything. Lettuce on a sandwich, I don't know.
I'm just kind of over iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, I'll eat like a Caesar salad or like a... I tend to buy spring mix if I'm making salad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like those, I like the crazy, like, you know, they look like veins inside a kidney.
Yeah.
That sort of greens.
Arugula.
Is that arugula?
I don't know if it's arugula or radicchio, or just some other thing that's fun to say.
A rocket. Yeah. I wish I knew the rest of that line. Yeah.
I think it's Sedalei.
Sidalate you.
Yeah. I thought maybe City Lights. But I don't know.
You know, if only we had some vast network of computers. Okay, so I got to get out of the habit when I'm on the radio of putting the cigar in my mouth so that I can type with both hands.
Yeah, didn't we figure out last week that wasn't...
Yeah, I don't know. Thing to do? I probably did. It's nice having internet so that I can give myself oral cancer. Well, I know a lot of people heard the first part of that sentence. Give yourself oral what, chick?
They were very excited. And you said Redenbacher.
Or Hershiser. I don't know anybody who knows who Oral Hershiser was.
Wasn't he a
baseball player. Yeah.
Satellite of Love.
Okay.
Satellite Love.
Because I thought it was like see the light of something. Hmm. That makes sense. Satellite of Love. So I wonder if the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing is a reference to that.
I don't know, because I think that's a reference to a Lou Reed song called Satellite of Love. Because at the beginning they're talking about Jack Flash, Rocket Man, Sergeant Pepper and the Band, Ziggy, Benny and the Jets. So they're hey guys, we're Def Leppard. Remember all these other bands?
That are good?
Gene Genie, Killer Queen, Dizzy Lizzy, Major Tom. Yeah.
Huh. So they're just singing about other songs that are about space?
Not even about space. Ziggy Stardust isn't really about space. Dizzy Miss Lizzy certainly isn't.
Spiders from Mars?
The name of the band is Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Okay. But they're still spiders from Mars.
No, they're people.
Okay. I mean, I forget that the members of Def Leppard clearly had a better understanding of everything than I did, so must have really been wrong about that.
The members of Def Leppard are not hard-of-hearing felines, either, in the same way that the spiders from Mars are not spiders from Mars.
Yeah, but neither Def nor Leppard is spelled in a way that indicates that's meant to be taken literally.
None of the Beatles are insects. So you're saying if it was Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, then you would understand it?
I don't think that's what I'm saying at all, but I don't I don't even know anymore, man. I spent part of the break looking at text in various fonts in various sizes. This is what it's come to. we're trying to make like a SIG generator kind of thing.
So that we can take them off for great justice.
Yeah. A thing that pulls data out of your character and allows you to make forum SIGs in other forums. It's viral, man. It's viral. This thing's gonna go viral. What do you think would happen if this thing went viral? What if it went rogue? Do you think I would call you and in a hushed voice say, "It's gone rogue"?
And I would say, "What's gone, and don't call me rogue."
But you look so much like Anna Paquin.
And it's just the white streak running down my hair.
We have that thing like where sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're hideous.
Yeah. What?
You look kind of like Bjork in that sense, too. Who did that cover of I'm on Fire?
That was Bat for Lashes. She sounds like kind of an acoustic Bjork, I guess.
Acoustic Bjork sounds like a... I don't know. Something, some sort of lung equivalent of a myocardial infarction.
You suffered from an acute acoustic Bjork.
Yeah. Zona says, "I'm wearing it now. I had to kill Hodgman and Kokobo equipment is no good." Sorry, man. No do-overs. Harakan says, "Why is Ronan called Ronan? Why is Ronan called Ronan? Was that you?"
No, you were the one who...
I feel like maybe Marshall is the one who coined the term in the first place.
I mean, so when you're samurai, you...
It doesn't make any sense. Ronan is just a samurai with no master.
Right.
You're meant to be walking the earth, like Kane from Kung Fu.
Yeah,
there was a word for that, and it was a bum, but we didn't want to use that word.
Right. When we talked about it, we talked about there should be a time where you have to walk the earth, and we talked about making the, like, Kane and Kung Fu thing. The word Ronin literally means drifting person.
Huh. Well, good. Gleeb says, "Does that mean that data from Star Trek was just made up of anecdotes?" No, he's positrons and dildos.
He is fully functional.
Yeah.
I was amazed at going through some old Star Trek just how many references there are to Data's penis.
Really? More than like a couple?
More than two. So
I know there's the one where there's some disease that gets them all drunk. I think that was in like the first season, right? And even Data gets drunk.
Yeah, and he bones Tasha Yar.
Yeah, bones Tasha Yar.
Who, man... That's another thing. Looking at that first couple of seasons, like, man, I was hard up for women to masturbate to in my youth because I found Tasha Yar sexy. It's like nobody.
I thought that the,
Nobody with boobs that close to their belly button is gonna, yeah, not sexy.
You don't think that was just an artifact of the uniform?
No, it was an artifact of her boobs being really, really, really low.
I see.
Huh. I mean, every time she came on the screen, the background music changed to...
every time she came on the screen, you failed too. The low rider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. I think that I found Counselor Troy to be the most attractive woman on the show.
Although Crusher got hotter and hotter.
That's true. Wesley, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a cutie to begin with.
It's weird watching the first season of Next Generation. It's like, because Wesley is so freaking annoying, and nobody knows quite how to act yet.
Huh. I honestly, it did not occur to me to hate Wesley Crusher until the internet kept saying, "We hate Wesley Crusher."
I thought he was annoying in the first season, but I didn't think he got more and more and more annoying.
Yeah, I don't really remember anything. I did not actually see that much of the first season. Uh-huh. I don't think. I've been listening to the second series of Penny Arcade Dungeons and Dragons podcast, where they're playing with Scott Kurtz and Will Wheaton. And, the more I see and am aware of Will Wheaton, the more he just seems really, really awesome.
Yeah, that's true. I was pleased to see that thing that he did with when the whole audiobook Kindle controversy was brewing, where he read a section of his book and then he had the computer read a section of the book, and it just kind of illustrated how ridiculous it is to say that the computer reading the book is an audiobook.
Right. His keynote speech at PAX a couple of years ago was seriously just, like, moving. And I don't say that about a lot of things. I'm not normally one of those fags that's always talking about how he responds to things emotionally.
Right.
But, like, that was fucking good. I don't know that it would come across watching it. Like, there was something about being there in that great big group of people. You know, sort of like the experience of seeing everybody's phones come up during the concert at the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first time you'd seen that, and now it just seems kind of stupid, but...
Mine was the experience of having a room full of people just cheering and mesmerized by two guys playing Pong.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
It really was. They did a good job of setting that up. It really was pretty gripping.
It was, and I will never learn how to play Halo.
But as you said, you being in it and losing is a better story than you winning it, you know?
Yeah. Well, me being in it and losing it in the second round from Halo is far better than me being in it and losing by just falling on my ass during DDR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Fubar Bazcuck says, "Why does the swarm of scarab beetles have so many drops?" Well, we just had a ton of ideas about beetles drops. The beetles, that probably should have been a zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got the Octopus Gardener, so we could put more beetles references on them if we, on drops from him if we wanted to.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we were kind of running low on ideas.
Yeah. Were we?
I suppose. I
think we kept adding stuff as time went by.
Hmm.
Mr. Mag had the idea for happiness, which I feel like is one of the better ideas that's ever been had.
Mm-hmm.
Elfin says, "Any plans for a non-combat equivalent of the Spooky Putty sheet? Something like a Magical Marauders map that can let you refind anywhere? Or was that whole thing too broken?" Yeah, you know. It is so difficult to conceive of a way to narratively justify that. Because non-combats are not necessarily places that you find, whereas monsters are definitely always things that you're fighting.
Right. This makes it less likely for stuff to happen to you.
And plus, I think something like that would throw the wide world of varieties of non-combat styles into sharper relief, which is something that people are already annoyed about.
Mm-hmm.
When certain things don't react the way that they want them to.
Oh, right.
Let's see. Noah M says, so what does the effect wings do? I know it was supposed to open the castle originally, but it didn't. So why is it still around now? Because it's funny. This is like Red Bull. Get it? Do you get it, everybody? Blind Bandit says, Jick and Scully, sup. I'm going to wait till after the show to sup.
Yeah, me too. And I'm getting kind of angry.
Why aren't 13 lewd playing cards usable in order to make a...